afternoon, and welcome once again to the Mike Wilson Show on WWGH. And the Popcorn Festival's just a little over a month away. And in the studio, I have Tom Danner, who has been a long, long time part of the Popcorn Festival.
Yeah, they haven't named it after me yet.
Popcorn Festival.
I could only hope, you know.
I haven't heard your jokes. You know, it could be corny. I don't know. Yeah. But Tom, I've known you from years ago. It's good to see you. So let's start out with a little bit of the history of the Popcorn Festival.
Sure.
Start there and go from there.
Well, you know, there were some businessmen here in town that got together one day and decided that, you know, they looked at the Bratwurst Festival and some of the other festivals around the state of Ohio and thought, you know what, how come Marion doesn't have a festival? And back in those days, it was about 1981, actually, was our very first year. And I got to tell you, I mean, they went around and visited some festivals and tried to figure out how to put one together and really didn't know what they didn't know. Mm-hmm. And it was so interesting because I remember the very first year we all had radios, and the very first year at 11 o'clock on Thursday, I remember somebody getting on the radio and say, "Wow, there's really people downtown." So they all came down for lunch, the people that work downtown. So that's kind of the way the festival got started. But the main reason that they started the Marion Popcorn Festival was back then they were looking for a way to help put Marion on the map. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had gone through some tough times in the 70s, lost a lot of industry. I think people were kind of feeling as though Marion was getting kind of left behind and weren't feeling really positive about their community. And we thought, well, maybe the Popcorn Festival is one way that we can kind of say, hey, you know, we do cool things in Marion. And I actually got involved with the festival through Janice Scantlin, who at that mm-hmm. time owned the radio station downtown.
Sure.
And I was involved with the entertainment committee, and I remember going to all the meetings, and I really thought, you know, this really fits my personality really well. I enjoyed it, and here I am. I mean, we're coming up on our 40th anniversary of the Popcorn Festival here in a couple years, and with the exception of maybe one or two, I think I've done something every year with the mm-hmm. festival. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
long time association there. That's wonderful. Okay, then that brings us to the 2019 Popcorn Festival. I understand that there are some pageants going on here in the near future.
We do actually. They're this weekend, and starting with Friday. Well, we're going to be doing rehearsals and stuff on Friday and get everybody there. But on Saturday morning, starting at 9 o'clock, is the Teeny Pop, and that's always a really really nice event. I think this year they've got you know, maybe 14 or 15 contestants. I mean, that's great. So these are, and I don't have the exact age breakdown, but these can be anywhere from, well, we have the Wee Pop and Little Wee Pop, which are for like 1 year olds and even infants, newborns up through a certain age, and then the girls kind of move into the Teeny Pop. So the Teeny Pop goes up. They can't be a teenager, so I think that ends probably somewhere around 11 or 12 years old.
Okay.
With the Teeny Pop, and then it goes, and then we have the Miss Pageant, the Ms. Pageant, and then the Teen Pageant, and that's going to be Saturday evening at 7 o'clock, and then on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock we have the Wee Pop and the Little Wee Pop. And that's for boys and girls. And like I said, they could be anywhere from, I mean, I know that parents carry their newborn infants out, and then once they get old enough to be able to walk after a year, then they move into the Little Wee Pop. So the pageants are all this weekend. I'm sorry I don't have all the exact information about them, but I do know that the pageants are fun. And I think the only pageant that they were still looking for girls would be in the teen pageant. So if anybody is interested in entering the one of the pageants, the teen pageant might be the one to enter. And they can go to popcornfestival.com, just type in pageants, and they can get all the information about all the pageants, including the ages and those kind of things that I just don't remember.
So those pageants are going on August 3rd and 4th.
Yep, this weekend.
This coming weekend. Okay.
And those are that's at River Valley High School in their auditorium.
And to apply, you go online and fill them up, or do they just show up?
Well, no, probably at this late a date, probably the best thing to do is to call the chairman of each pageant committee and talk to them directly.
And you can find out who they are online.
Yeah, it'll have a name and a contact number and probably even an email address. But at this late a date, I think you'd be better off to probably call.
Okay.
So that's this weekend. We also have one exciting thing that is new to the festival this year is we have the Fortnite Duo competition. We were looking for a good fundraising event, and the chairman of our fundraising committee, who is Christine Hinton, has a teenage boy that plays Fortnite, and all of his friends do, and the popularity of that video game.
Oh, it's a video game. Yeah, I didn't know what that was. Okay.
Well, I had to look it up when she first brought it, but it's a very popular video game, and they're going to be doing competitions, and it's going to be both nights, Friday and Saturday night of the Popcorn Festival. Actually, it starts at 10 in the morning and then goes to about 5 or 6 in the evening. But there's going to be a duo competition. It costs $20 to enter. But the different age groups start at 11 to 14 and 15 to 18, and 7 to 10 is the youngest. And first place duo can win $300.
Oh, wow.
Yep. And second place is $200, and then third place is $100. So.
But there's not an age category for me, right?
No, you and I, there's no age category. I don't even know if I have glasses that would work to even see the screen. So, but no, we have had a lot of interest in that event, and that's going to be over at Nate's Barbershop downtown.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's some room in there, and it should be a fun event. That's brand new. People can stop by and pop in there and take a look at it.
Pop in. We're talking about Popcorn Festival. Well, that fits very well. Just pop in. Okay. A big part of the Popcorn Festival, of course, is on Thursday night, the parade.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we want to get into the parade and talk about that a little bit.
You know, years and years ago, there used to be a huge, huge parade here in this town that was centered around the U.S. Open Drum and Bugle Corps.
Oh, yes.
I mean, it was the one parade that everybody really looked forward to. And when that whole competition kind of left Marion and went down to Columbus, a lot of people really felt that there was a real void without having that great parade. And the Marion Popcorn Festival Parade has always kind of been able to step in and become the exciting parade event that everybody can look forward to. And I don't mean to take anything away from the Christmas parade or any of the other parades that
certainly.
People do.
Certainly, this is different.
Parades are very hard to put together, mm-hmm. and this is one that has always been very successful. And it really is a kickoff for the festival, because without the parade, you know, we probably wouldn't have very many people downtown on Thursday night.
Oh, most certainly, yes. Oh, I can't believe people are saving their places out there with chairs 2 or 3 days ahead of time.
Yeah.
It's just a, but that's something else we'll have to cover is the new parade route as we talk about that here too.
Couple changes this year. You know, here's the interesting thing. I've been involved at all different levels of the Popcorn Festival. I'm a past president. I've been on the executive board for several years. I'm a co-director this year. So then, interestingly enough, this is not a position that I've ever done, but I've done all the other positions. So, mm-hmm. you know, I certainly understand.
You're well versed.
Yeah, I mean, the directorship didn't scare me. I mean, I knew that I could probably put it together, or help. Marge Fairman is my co-director. Dawn Speakman is also one of our directors. She's an assistant director, and we hope she might take over next year. We're trying to get her there. But so one of the big things was, you know, every year people complain. They always have complaints about the parade. I mean, as well attended as it is, and as much as everybody looks forward to it, there's always complaints.
No matter what you do, there will be complaints.
It seems like it in anything exactly. in life. But, you know, we do take those complaints, and we do listen to them, and we do try to come up with ways that we can make changes. One of the complaints has always been that it's too long.
Mm-hmm. It is a long parade. I've been in it, and I've driven in it many times. So, yes.
And when you start there at Forest Lawn, and you go down, and you think, is this thing ever going to end? You don't realize how long that is. One of the other complaints is the gaps. You know, big gaps in the parade route.
Right.
Another complaint that we've had is, you know, how many pickup trucks can you look at? You know, I mean, so. Don Wolf is our new parade chair. Don's a very creative guy, somebody that I've known and worked with for many years through the Palace Theater and Summer Musical. He used to work at Harding High School. He's been involved with the band there. I mean, he's a very creative, artistic guy. And Don came to us and he says, you know, I really want to address these issues. I really want to try to do something to try to make the parade better and try to really address some of the complaints. And we said, okay, fine, let's go do it. Well, one of the things that Don really wanted to do, he felt that the parade needed more floats. And last year, like, we probably had maybe 7. Mm-hmm. I mean, it had, we used to have a lot of floats, and then it just kept dwindling down every year. And we lost our, just a dear friend of mine who was a parade chair for many, many years, Mary Dutton. And Mary did such a great job with that parade. And we lost her just a year or so ago, really kind of put a void in the whole parade, and it was nice to have somebody else step forward that has a lot of energy that says, you know, I want to carry it on. I really want to see it become a good event. So Don has worked hard. He's put himself out there, and he said, hey, listen, if there's people that have never done a float before and would like to have a float, he says, we'll have training sessions. We can have seminars. He says we can exchange ideas. We can show you what kind of floats work, what doesn't work, you know, in a parade setting. He says I have companies that we can buy float material for at a discounted rate. You know, he kind of really put himself out there. I just talked to him earlier today, and he told me he thinks right now he's setting at maybe 18. And his hope is to really have 20 floats. That's where he would like to see it.
Yeah, there were some misconceptions out there about this, like there was a limit of how many floats and things like that. I don't know where they came from, but that's part of the reason you're here.
I don't dispel those. Well, I think what Don meant to say was, you know, I hope we have at least 15, and somehow that got interpreted as we're only going to have 15, and I don't think that's what Don meant, but. He's had a really good turnout with the floats so far.
That's great.
So the parade is going to be a little shorter. I can tell you that the Marion Police Department is very, very happy.
I'm sure they are.
Because, you know, we used to always do that zigzag, yes. And then it ended up going up, Main Street.
Yeah.
So now what it does, it still starts right around Forest Lawn Boulevard. But when it goes down to State Street, it's going to turn left, and then it's going to turn left again on Church Street. And okay. And
people, where it would usually turn right on Church.
Correct.
We're going to go left.
It's going to do a big U-turn.
Okay.
And it's going to come back up by the Historical Society.
Okay.
And then it's going to kind of disband there where the three roads.
Okay.
You know, you got Green. What do you got? What is it? It's.
I can't think of the name of that little street.
I'll tell you, it's Church. It's going to finish up at Church Street, Mount Vernon Avenue, and South Vine.
That's it. Kind of
where
Street, yes.
That's kind of where it ends. So some people are going to
Rockies.
Yeah, right there by Rockies, and you know they may even go a little further, maybe down by. When they actually disband, you know, some of the floats and some of that kind of stuff, that may happen down by where they're building the new Harding, Harding Library, but mm-hmm. but that's the parade route. So people are going to be able to set all the way down to where Rocky's is, you know, Rocky's Bicycle Shop.
Right.
Yeah. So it is a little shorter, and I want to make sure everybody knows that. But the reason that we wanted to shorten it just a little bit is because Don would like to see more people walk rather than ride. Now, we know little kids can't do that, and we know there's some people that are unable to walk that much. There's no way I could walk that whole parade. So, you know, arrangements can be made for transportation for people that just can't do it. But I think there's a lot of people that would like to walk it and make it a little more festive, and then with the floats and if you have a group, you know, and you can put them on a float, that's really being encouraged. You know, this is Marion's parade. We're not
Macy's.
Yeah, yeah. And we're not gonna turn people away. We want people to be involved.
I had also heard with that they were going to discourage things such as wagons with hay bales and people sitting on those. Is that right, or is that another misconception?
Well, I think the word discouraged maybe isn't the right word. Also, I mean, it's like I think he wants to encourage people to decorate hay wagons and farm wagons to make them look a little more float-ish.
Yeah, float-ish. New word there. That'll work.
But at the end of the day, if that's all you got, and you need to put a little league team on there, you need to put a group of kids on there from a church or whatever. I mean, do the best you can to decorate it up. If you need Don's help, he'll help you. I mean, he'll give you ideas. But at the end of the day, we'd rather have the people in the parade than not in the parade.
Certainly. So, you know, when I originally heard about some of the rules that Don had and so on, it sounded very much like they were to discourage some folks from being in there and so on, but that's not the case at all.
Next year is the 200th anniversary of Marion County. Mm-hmm. And Randy Whelan came in to visit us, and he says, I would really like to have the Marion Popcorn Festival Parade be a big part of our celebration. And Don's vision is to be able to go around to every township and every community within Marion County and say, hey, we'd like for your community to have a float in the parade, mm-hmm. and highlight what is important about your community to Marion County. You know, what was going on in your community when the county was formed, and give and from that aspect, that's kind of his overall vision, is to have more and more floats. That's where I can't figure out where this 15 thing came from.
Yeah,
because he wants next year's to be even bigger and better. So this year kind of becomes a little bit of a stepping stone, and we hope that once people see what Don's vision is, that next year more people will kind of buy into that, mm-hmm. and that 200th celebration for Marion County next year, because I'm sure that the Popcorn Festival is going to have a theme around that 200th anniversary. I can't say that because it's not up to me personally, right. But I got a good feeling that
it sounds like it's headed that way.
Yeah, that we're most likely going to do something like that.
Okay, the parade. Can people still apply to get into the parade, or are we beyond that date? What are we doing?
The official date for the floats has come and passed. However, he does have a parade deadline of August 12th for non-floats. Now, look, my guess is if they call Don and they talk to him, and say, hey, listen, this is where we're at. People still have time to put a float together. I mean, we're a little more than a month and a week out.
Right.
So yeah, it can still happen. I think the big thing for Don is that he'd like to know who all he's got, because he's got to put this parade together.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to make sure that he's got it put together correctly. So, I would encourage people to just go on to popcornfestival.com, type in parade. Don's information is all there. I mean, I can give you numbers, but nobody's going to remember them. So
exactly.
That's the best way to do it. Mm-hmm. Get in contact with Don and just say, hey, listen, you know, we're interested in being involved with the festival. This is what we're thinking about doing. And he can kind of tell them if it's going to work or not.
Okay. What about the theme? We haven't discussed the theme yet today.
The theme, interestingly enough, the theme is celebrating superheroes. Now, when we when the first thing that comes to your mind when you're thinking
Superman,
anybody
Batman,
with a cape
Aquaman.
On, right?
Right.
But in reality, it, you know, anybody can be a hero. Anybody can be a superhero to anybody. I mean, you could be a policeman, you could be a fireman, any kind of a first responder. I mean, you could be a coach, you could be, somebody that you really love, your father, your mother. I mean, who is your superhero? And that's what we're doing. I mean, we're not limiting it. We know that a lot of people are probably going to do the Marvel superhero
probably
vision, and
well,
that's,
why not?
Why not? Yeah. I mean, that's the fun thing. But at the end of the day, anybody that is a superhero to you, that's the important thing. Entertainment too. We got to talk
entertainment.
About that.
You know what? That was the next word out of my mouth. You beat me to it.
I have my notes too. You know?
Okay.
So Thursday night. We kick things off. At 6 o'clock, there's a band out of Upper Sandusky, a fun band. They're called Grape Jam. And they're going to be there on the main stage.
Grape Jam?
Grape Jam. And okay. It's, if you could envision, I mean, it's just about what you think. It's a band that jams and
okay.
They...
I was picturing people all dressed in purple.
As grapes, no. They're a great band. I've worked with them several times. I've done sound for them, and they're a fun band, talented band. They got some ladies that play horns, and I mean it's just a fun group. And they're going to kick things off at six o'clock, and even though the parade's still going on, we kind of start that main stage entertainment at six. So there's a little bit of an overlap there. At 8 o'clock, we have the Ultimate Metallica tribute band, the Four Horsemen.
Okay, I've heard of them.
Yep, we've never done a Metallica tribute band. We've done several others, but this is one of the premier tribute bands for Metallica. On Friday night is our country night this year. Sometimes it flips. It just depends on who we can get on Friday night versus Saturday night.
Sure.
So this year on Friday night is our country night. Frankie Ballard, platinum selling recording artist Frankie Ballard, is going to be performing. And on Saturday night, triple platinum rockers Hinder will be on our main stage. And then, of course, outside of the main stage, we have a beer garden stage. We have the community stage, which is really just opened up to anybody and everybody that wants to perform on a stage.
That's one down by the palace?
Yep, at the Popcorn Festival. I mean, we don't always have room in the beer garden. We don't always have room on the main stage, but that's why we have the showcase stage.
Okay. Any clue of who's going to be showing up down there? Or I know there have been cloggers and singers and everything else down there in the past.
She gave me a list. I don't know how rock solid it is, but of course, you know, we always end up with all the show choirs. I mean, River Valley Show Choir, Pleasant Show Choir. We have some churches that have performing groups that, mm-hmm. that are there. I heard a rumor that she has... a unicorn coming this year. Don't know all the facts on that, but that should be fun. We've got I wish I could tell you everybody. I'm gonna have to come back and we'll have the complete list. We don't even have it posted yet because I know she's still waiting on contracts to come back.
Okay. Lots of food vendors. Hopefully there's some popcorn vendors down there.
You know, I've been involved for 40 years, and the biggest joke of the popcorn festival is that there's no popcorn at the popcorn festival. Yeah, we years ago when we were trying to figure out what kind of a festival we want to have, you know, at that time, Wyandotte Popcorn was the largest exporter of popcorn in the world. And so it just kind of made sense that they were the largest food company that we had, that we would name it after popcorn.
Sure.
And popcorn is such a fun food, you know, and everybody loves popcorn. You can't get the concessionaires to sell it. I don't know why. But I think last year we had 7 or 8 vendors that did sell popcorn in various ways, sometimes kettle corn, sometimes flavored popcorn.
Sure.
You know, I always used to say, you know, why don't we just get a helicopter and we'll just, you know, drop a couple thousand pounds of popcorn on everybody about every hour, and then they can say, yeah, okay, I've had enough of the popcorn.
What other things going on down there?
Well, you know, the Popcorn Festival, it has so many branches and so many arms. I mean, there's an over 55 softball league that puts on a competition.
I qualify.
I know there's the Popcorn Bowl, the little Pee Wee football kids that have a competition in the name of the Popcorn Festival. We've got an arts and crafts area. We've got fine arts exhibits. We have, of course, rides. When we have our committee meetings every week, you know, it's amazing to see the list of people that are involved. I mean, it would not surprise me if we have 1,000 volunteers that are involved in one way or another helping to put this festival on. And it takes a lot. I mean, we meet 12 months out of the year. You know, we've already started looking at things that we need to do for next year. So by December, if we're not already looking at our entertainment by December, we're almost too late. Because in January they have a huge booking convention out in Las Vegas, and everybody is setting up their tours.
Okay.
And if you don't have your name in the hat that you're looking for certain people, you're going to get passed over. And so we have to know what our budget is for next year. We have to be able to get out there and look for entertainment before the end of the year.
And a lot of the downtown businesses stay open later to get that business during the Popcorn Festival. So there's a lot to offer in downtown Marion, that's for sure.
We always hope that our downtown merchants will embrace the Popcorn Festival. We know that there's more merchants downtown today than there were 30 years ago or 35 years ago. And we want to be supportive of their business and what they do. And we really ask that they get involved. They ask how they can get involved. We're bringing bodies to downtown Marion. I've heard all kinds of figures over the year, but you know, it doesn't matter if that's 200,000 or 300,000 or half a million. I mean, it doesn't matter. The thing is, most businesses downtown probably don't have, they certainly don't have 3,000 people walk past their door in any one day. So,
sure.
So if you can do something to help bring those people into your business, and that might be just setting something up out on the sidewalk, mm-hmm. Or having a sale or you know, some businesses I know have passed out water, I mean, just anything to call attention to your storefront. I mean, that's really what this whole festival is all about, is to call attention to Marion, Ohio. And we hope that, every year we hope that people from the downtown will enjoy the festival, will embrace the festival, and will help us with the planning of the festival.
Another big thing happens down there at the municipal building. What happens there? The art show.
Yeah, the fine arts, and I that's one of those things you kind of forget about because they are so well organized and they just do it. But I'll tell you what, if you want to get in out of the heat and you want to get into some air conditioning, it is certainly worthwhile.
Well, sure
going
is.
Down there and looking through there to see some of the fine art exhibits that are there. One of the other things that I forgot was the Thursday afternoon concert at the Palace Theater, and I did not write down who it was.
Oh.
So.
Is that on your website?
It might be. If you just pull up Palace Theater, it may tell us. But that's always fun. I mean, what happens with that is we have a number of senior buses that come in. It's all free. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Thursday. It's really the entertainment kickoff outside of what's going on at the showcase stage. But we have several hundred people that will show up at the Palace Theater to see the concert on Thursday at 2 o'clock. And we've had we've had all kinds of acts that have been there. We've had we've had Frank Sinatra tribute acts. We've had big bands that have performed. But we try to appeal to all kinds of people, and it's always something that we really enjoy it when the senior buses come in.
So those aren't young buses, they're old buses, because they're senior buses.
These are old senior buses.
Okay.
They make sure the tires are okay.
I'm trying to see what's going on here with at the Palace Theater that night. And I'm not seeing it right offhand here.
And I don't know why I don't have that. Maybe we don't have that completely dialed in, but I thought we did.
That's okay. That's okay. As that stuff comes up, you will September Popcorn Festival Parade on the 5th, Fortnite Tournament on the 6th. I'm not seeing it here. I'm not sure exactly what's going on that night. But I'm sure it will be spectacular, whatever it is.
You know, we try to have a variety of entertainment for everybody. Some years are easier than others. Here we go. That's not it. Nope, that's an old one.
I put in Palace Theater Popcorn Festival 2019, and nope. I didn't get any answers. So maybe that's not completely...
Nope. All I'm getting is what happened in 2015, so
okay.
That obviously needs to be updated.
There you go.
But we try to have a wide variety of entertainment for everybody, and we really would like for the community to continue to engage everything that we do. And I'll tell you, it's easy to become a volunteer and get involved with the Popcorn Festival.
You are just reading my mind, because that's the next thing on my list here. How do you volunteer?
Well, what I encourage people to do is take a look at everything the Popcorn Festival does, everything we're involved in, get the schedule of events at the festival and kind of go through it. And if there's something that really sparks your interest, you say, hey, I can, like, for instance, we were not able to do a fun run this year, and we were not able to do the Popcorn 100 bicycle tour because Dan Sheridan is out doing his bicycle across the United States.
Oh, okay.
And Dan has always kind of put that together. So, next year we need people to help us with the fun run again, and we need people to help us with the bicycle tour. But if you find something that really clicks, go in there, take a look at it, see who the committee chairs have been in the past, call them and just say, hey, I'd like to volunteer. I'd like to be a part of it. And that's the best way to get started is with one of the committees.
Yeah, I've helped tear down the stage down by the palace. I've helped clean up afterwards. And that cleanup at the end is just amazing how fast that gets done.
When you see it, you almost don't believe it.
Right. I mean,
it's
within a matter of a couple of hours, it's as if nothing happened down
there. there's always a really good crew that's involved, and the city of Marion is so important in they come through and scrub the streets. And mm-hmm. The key is to have all the streets open and everything tore down before people start arriving at church on Sunday morning, and mm-hmm. that's our goal.
And usually long before that it is cleaned up. So
yeah.
Another question I have is, let's say that an organization or a radio station or somebody wants to set up along the street. How do you go about doing that? Is there a fee? How does that work?
Well, so we do have a concession chair who is involved with selling space on the street. I mean, that's how we make our money.
Sure.
Now, if you're a if you're a radio station or your media or something like that, and you have something to trade in value, I mean, you become a sponsor, you know, and, okay. And then we try to work things out from there. I mean, that's the best way to approach that. You know, we try not to give space up away, but if somebody is helping us to promote the event and you have something in value, then let's talk about it.
Okay. Well, remember, we're helping you right here. I know. So keep that all in mind. But let's see. What haven't we covered yet? We've covered a lot of territory, and we have about 10 minutes.
Oh, okay.
So what else haven't we covered, Tom?
It's interesting that for this many years we've been able to keep this festival alive. I mean, there have been a lot of festivals that have closed up and have gone away, and there have been a lot of festivals that have not done really well. And the Popcorn Festival has consistently, you know, really done well and has had good turnout. And, you know, that's about the community. I mean, if it wasn't for the Marion community that do come out and do support the festival, we wouldn't have a 40th year coming up.
Sure.
You know, yes, it takes a lot of work and effort and money and volunteers and everything else, but at the end of the day, it really takes the community coming out and being a part of the festival. And you know, our thank you to the community is the free entertainment that's on the main stage. I mean, you know, we have about roughly a $90,000 to $100,000 entertainment budget, and that money doesn't just, you know, fall in your lap. You got to go out and work yeah. for it. And we like to be able to put that entertainment out there. So if you want to, you know, if you don't want to be a Colonel sponsor and have a seat down in front, that's fine. You should still be able to go find a good place to stand and watch the entertainment. And normally the worst standing location you will ever find is going to be better than anything that you find in an open arena down in Columbus. And those Colonel seats, you know, just if you become a sponsor and you get those Colonel seats, I mean, you're like 10-20 feet
away.
You have a
good view no matter where you are there yeah. at the main stage. It's amazing.
It really is. And like I said, that is the way that we've always said thank you to the community is to put that free entertainment up on that stage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, year after year, it gets harder because entertainment keeps getting more and more expensive.
I'm sure.
And we have not really increased our entertainment budget over the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. It's been kind of a stagnant number, and we get lucky. I mean, the bands that we've been able to pull in every year have been able to really pull good crowds, and we have to pull in good crowds so the concessionaires are happy. So when they leave, they want to come back.
Oh, certainly.
I mean, it's
yes.
It's a nice symbiotic relationship, and everybody's got to be involved to be able to pull the thing off so that people feel good and want to come back and do it again.
Okay. Can you, I don't know if you're allowed to share this information, but can you tell us, you know, about what the typical entertainers charge?
Well,
that probably varies. I don't know if that's something you can discuss or not.
I can just tell you in general terms, you know, most tribute acts are going to be in the $3,000 to $5,000 range. Mm-hmm. Most headlining acts, depending on how old they are and whether or not they're going up the chart or down the chart. I mean, you know, the next price range is going to be anywhere from 15 to 25. And then when you get into your big name entertainment, the kind of entertainment that we can afford, you know, you're going to be in that 25 to 35 range. And, you know, it's funny because every year somebody will say, well, you know, why don't you get so-and-so? Why don't you get so-and-so?
It's not that easy.
Well, no, it was, you know, I can give you an example. So a year ago, we could have gotten, the band out of Michigan, I can't think of them. The young guys that they sound like Led Zeppelin. Greta Van Fleet.
Okay.
Okay. We could have got them for like I think they were like $40,000. You know, a little bit outside our budget range, but I mean it could have been doable. We looked at them this year; they were over $250,000.
Okay, that's understandable.
So it jumped. I mean, you know, they had a couple. They had one really monster hit, and they've had a couple really good hits with their last album. And so all of a sudden now those acts just are way out of your. I mean, you might as well just not even have them on the list. So you know we're always subject to being able to be within our affordability range. And yes, there are some acts that will come and play at your fair or your festival for $1 million, you know, some of them.
Of course.
So, and those are normally the ones that people throw out and say, well, why don't you get so-and-so? Well, they were $1 million. That's why.
Who are some of the big names? There have been a lot of big names, but some of the real REO memorable Speedwagon, ones you've had in the
Styx,
past.
Huey Lewis.
I helped introduce him that night.
Miami Sound Machine. We've had, back in the early days, we had the Letterman, the Spinners, the Four Tops, the Temptations. I mean, we had, oh my gosh.
So many.
It's an impressive list.
Yeah. It sure is. It's amazing what we get here in Marion, Ohio, and it's free entertainment, people. You better appreciate it.
It is free.
Yes. We have about 5 minutes, Tom. Why don't you, I know you told what the entertainment's going to be on each night earlier. Why don't you go down through that list one more time for us?
Sure. So on Thursday night, we have Grape Jam starting at 6 o'clock, followed by the Ultimate Metallica tribute band, The Four Horsemen. And those festivities for the main stage kick off around 8 o'clock. We have a little pre-show there, and it starts at 8. On Friday, Frankie Ballard, he's a platinum-selling recording artist, country, and the triple platinum rockers Hinder will be there on Saturday night. And, you know, I did want to mention that, you know, I have to really thank the city of Marion, the mayor's office, the safety directors, and everybody on the mayor's team, because there's just no way that you could put on a festival like this without having them and help cooperate and help us pull this together. We have meetings with them leading up to the festival where we discuss all aspects of what it is we're thinking about doing. We make sure that everything works within their schedules and everything works within their parameters. But it would be impossible. And the security people that we have who are mostly all volunteer that help work the main stage and that kind of stuff, very important. And all of our volunteers, all of our committee chairs, I mean, you would absolutely be amazed if you sat through one of the meetings to see all the people that are involved to pull this off. And everybody works hard. They work in their own directions, in their own little areas. And it comes together. And then what Marge and I and Dawn end up doing is just going around putting out fires pretty much.
Now, you had mentioned that you meet once every month.
Yep.
Starting in about October, I believe, for the following year.
Yep. We have a board of directors meeting, trustees meetings. We have executive board meetings, and then we have the actual committee chair meetings, and those just start. I mean, as soon as the festival's over, I mean, we immediately in October, we have our annual meeting, and then we may take a little break in December, but in January we're right back at it.
If people have ideas or concerns, what's the best way to voice those to your committee?
You know, there is a popcorn festival line, and if you go up on the popcornfestival.com and you just look up, contact popcorn festival or popcorn number, they can give you that number. That phone actually is in the pocket of our president, and so he gets to hear those things firsthand. And I can tell you that we don't ignore them.
Oh, I know that. I had some concerns earlier this week. I called that number, and you called me that night. I was very impressed. So, and you took care of all those concerns, and I felt a whole lot better about things after after a little talk. So
good.
Okay, well, Tom Danner, it's been good to have you here today. I know that you're definitely not the only one working on the parade, but you kind of are the glue that holds it together.
I really have nothing to do with the parade other than I show up and I go down the parade route. Don Wolf is the guy that puts it all together.
I meant to say festival, but I said parade.
There again, it's kind of the same story, you know?
Okay. Well, thanks for being here, and make sure that you stop out for the Marion Popcorn Festival. That'll be the weekend after Labor Day weekend.
Yep.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, with the parade being on Thursday night.
Correct. Thank you, Mike. I really appreciate you having us.
Thanks, Tom. It was good to have you here today. Thank you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. The legendary star of The Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett.
Yeah. Is it, how much of Mrs. Garrett is in Charlotte Ray?
I'm not, they made Mrs. Garrett perfect, which was ridiculous, as I wrote in the book. I mean, they never let me yell at the kids or anything, which most parents, all the kids wanted a mother like Mrs. Garrett. Well, she wasn't real, because most mothers lose their temper sometime and they get mad and so on and so forth. Anyway.